This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, August 31st, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. College football started last night. NFL, obviously, starting next Wednesday. Giants and Cowboys at the Meadowlands. A lot of exhibition games last night. We won't cover too much of that because, essentially, starters didn't even play, but we'll touch on that. We're going to start with the baseball. We're going to start in the National League. And once again, we're going to start with the Nationals. You know, it's fascinating to follow the Washington Nationals. If you know the history of baseball in Washington, Senators haven't won a World Series. The Nationals, formerly the Senators, since 1924. They were obviously terrible. If you know the saying from the 40s and 50s into the 60s, first in war, first in peace, last in the American League. You understand what's going on there. But this year, the Nationals have been unbelievable. But whenever you cover a Nationals game, there always seems to be a Steven Strasburg headline, even when he's not pitching. The Strasburg headline last night was that it was announced that Steven Strasburg will only have two or three starts left this year, which is, again, within the range that they had discussed, 160 to 180. If he goes five innings a game as he's been going, he'll have around 170. Apparently, they're not going to skip a start. They're just going to trot him out there for the next three starts. So his season will be over in about 12 or 13 days, middle of September. And again, I think this was handled poorly, and I think it's obviously going to hurt the Nationals because it looks like they're definitely going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to win the NL East. Obviously, lots of injuries for the Phillies. Miami never really got off the ground. It's kind of the Mets. You know, they were okay early, but you kind of thought they were going to come back to the pack, and they did. Santana out for the season, for example. The post-no-hitter Santana was terrible, frankly. So it was the Nationals and the Braves. The Braves with a wild card spot right now, and both of those teams will probably make the playoffs. But you take Steven Strasburg out of that rotation, and obviously the Nationals aren't the team that they are right now. Yesterday, the Nationals hammer the Cardinals. The Cardinals obviously in their own race. Nationals 8, Cardinals 1 down in Washington. Edwin Jackson was unbelievable yesterday for the Nationals. 10 strikeouts, 8 innings, 1 run. Bryce Harper had a home run and 3 RBIs, his 15th homer of the year. You know, when they show you the short list of teenagers who have hit more than 15 home runs, 15 or more homers, it's a very short list. Tony Conigliaro, before he got beaned, if you go back to the 60s in the Red Sox, Conigliaro was an unbelievable star, very young, but then he got beaned in his third or fourth year in the league and was never the same. He had 24 as a teenager. I know Ken Griffey Jr. is on that list as well. Harper makes the list. He's got the fourth most home runs ever for a teenager in a season. And, of course, you know, he's still got a month left in the season, so he's going to get some more. Harper yesterday, 2-for-5, home run, 3 RBIs. Only hitting 252, which I know is a bit of a disappointment. Jason Worth also hit a home run, his fourth of the year. Obviously, Worth in and out of the lineup this year, but he was batting leadoff, 2-for-4 with 3 runs scored, 2 RBIs, including the homer. He's batting 305 with an OBP of 389. So they're getting him healthy, and again, they have a very good lineup. Worth, Harper, Zimmerman, Morris, LaRoche, Desmond, Espinosa. I mean, those top 7 guys are pretty good, but I'll say it again, without Steven Strasburg, they're a much weaker team. Now, they have a very good pitching staff. Edwin Jackson was very good yesterday. Zimmerman, Gio Gonzalez, very good. Yesterday, Jackson gets the win. He's 8-9 for the Cardinals. Jaime Garcia takes the loss. He's 3-6. And yesterday, really no offense for the Cardinals as they're limited to four hits. And the Nationals, now 79-51, beat the Cardinals 8-1. The Cardinals in the wild card race now 71-60. A few other National League games to take a look at. You know, the Dodgers, they made all those trades, and they got some really, really good players, and you just kind of signed over the NL West to them, but that just has not been the case. Yesterday against the Diamondbacks, Diamondbacks 2, Dodgers 0. Ian Kennedy was awesome, 12-11, takes the win. Kershaw gets the loss, pitched well, but gets the loss. He's 12-8. J.J. Putz with his 27th save. Kennedy, 6 1/3, 2 hits, no runs. Kershaw, 6 innings pitched, 9 hits, 2 runs, both earned. ERA for the season of 2.85. Kennedy, not at all like last year, with an ERA of 4.27. Chris Young hit his 14th home run of the year for the Diamondbacks, and that was the difference. Two-run homer, the only scoring in the game. Diamondbacks 2, Dodgers 0. Dodgers now 70-62. We'll get to the standings later. Diamondbacks trying to hang around, and they're hanging around with a month to go in the season. Two games left in their... two games under 500 at 65-67. A few other games to look at quickly in the National League. Phillies beat the Mets 3-2. Lost season for the Phillies, 62-69. Mets now 9 games under 500 after flirting with 500 or above 500 through the middle of July. Kendrick gets the win. He's 8-9. John Neese pitched well but took the loss. He's 10-8. Papelbon gets his 30th save. Baxter hits his second of the year for the Mets, and Baxter, of course, you know, made that great catch banging into the wall in the Santana no-hitter, then went back on the DL for 6 weeks because he hurt his shoulder, now back in the lineup. Hairston, a pleasant surprise for the Mets this year with his 15th homer of the year. Brewers-Cubs, wild game. Cubs 12, Brewers 11. Cubs get 3 in the ninth to win it. Alfonso Soriano with a game-winning walk-off hit. You know, he only gets a single. He hits over the center fielder's head. Obviously, they were playing in with one out to try and, you know, cut the run off at the plate if it was a fly ball. Cubs 12, Brewers 11. Marmol gets the win in relief. He's 2-2. Rodriguez takes the loss. He's 2-7. Ryan Braun quietly having a great season, but for a not good team now, 62-68. No Prince Fielder. Braun with his 36th home run. Lucroy with his 9th for Milwaukee and 7 RBIs. Ransom with his 10th of the year for Milwaukee, but all for naught. Cubs 12, Brewers 11, neither team going anywhere. The Giants beat the Astros 8-4. Vogelsong gets the win. He's 12-7. Rodriguez takes the loss 1-9. Romo gets his 8th save of the year. Joaquin Arias hits his 4th homer of the year for the Giants. Green hits his 8th of the year for Houston. Giants 74-57, widening that lead. We'll get to the standings in a minute. Widening that lead over the Dodgers. And again, you know, the Dodgers with Hanley Ramirez, all the players that they got in the trade with the Red Sox, Gonzalez, you kind of thought they were going to run off now with the NL West, but that's not the case. We'll do the National League standings right now. Nationals 79-51, highest win percentage points over Cincinnati. They lead Atlanta by 5.5. Atlanta has one of the wild cards. Philly, New York, and Miami pretty much out of it. Philly 9 games out of a wild card, but I think, you know, it's possible in a month, but unlikely. Cincinnati, very good. No Joey Votto, 80-52. Very surprising, in my opinion, without Joey Votto. St. Louis, 8.5 behind them at 71-60, but right now St. Louis has the second wild card spot, half a game ahead of Pittsburgh, who's third in the NL Central at 70-60, half a game out of a wild card, 9 games behind Cincinnati. Don't think anyone's going to catch Cincinnati. Milwaukee again, 62-68, 8.5 out of a wild card, but again, you're under 500 after 130 games. You're going to have to make eight and a half games and pass a lot of teams. Don't think that's going to happen. The Cubs and dismal Houston. Houston at 40-91 now, long out of it. In the West, which again strikes me as the most interesting division, the Giants, 74-57, actually have a 4.5 game lead on the Dodgers. The Dodgers only 3-7 in their last 10, and again, you thought it would be different. Adrian Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez, But the Giants have actually widened their lead. It's 4.5 over the Dodgers, 5 in the loss column. The Dodgers 1.5 games out of a wild card spot. Giants in first, Dodgers in second. Arizona, as I said, kind of hanging around, 65-67. They're 9.5 behind the Giants, but only 6.5 out of the wild card. Not an impossible scenario for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but obviously they're going to have to play a lot better. They're 3-7 their last 10. The Dodgers 3-7 their last 10. The Giants 8-2, and obviously that five-game differential has brought the Giants from a half game behind the Dodgers to 4.5 ahead in the last 10 games. So we do see that things can change rapidly, and there is a month left in the season. But again, when you're looking at teams that are 8-9 games out of a wild card, teams like Milwaukee, for example, teams like Philadelphia, who have really not played well all year, it's really hard to expect that they're going to be around when the time comes for the playoffs. And again, as you know, two wild cards this year, interesting dynamic. I was never for the wild card, but once you have one, I'm all for having two, because now winning your division means a lot. And in the past, vis-a-vis the wild card, it didn't mean anything except home advantage for maybe a deciding game in the series. Let's move to the American League now. A few interesting games in the American League as well. The Orioles fighting for a playoff spot, trying to catch the Yankees. They play the Yankees tonight for a weekend series. Orioles at home beat the tough White Sox. Orioles 5, White Sox 3. Zach Britton gets the win. He's 4-1. Interestingly to me, 8 innings pitched, 7 hits, 1 run earned, no walks, 10 strikeouts for Britton. But for some reason, they've sent him down to AAA after this game. Not sure why. Jim Johnson gets a save, his 41st of the year, probably the closer of the year. His 2.93 ERA might seem a little high, but 41 saves is 41 saves. To me, he's the reason the Orioles are still in the wild card and still with a shot to beat the Yankees, or at least catch the Yankees. Adam Jones with his 26th home run of the year, having a heck of a year. Teagarden with his second home run of the year for Baltimore. And again, their lineup's pretty good as well. Markakis, J.J. Hardy, Jones, Reynolds. You know, those guys are playing well. McLouth has been playing pretty well for them. Their top four or five is pretty good. They don't have the depth other teams have, but they do have good pitching. Quintana takes the loss for the White Sox. He's 5-3. Orioles now at 72-58. White Sox identical, 72-58. Of course, the White Sox leading their division, but the Orioles are in the same division as the Yankees. But they're only 3 games out, 3 in the loss column. Again, they go to New York. We'll get into the standings in the American League as well in a little bit. Other American League games, the Red Sox waved the white flag, traded everybody, lose to the Angels in Los Angeles. Angels making a run at the playoff spot. Angels 5, Red Sox 2. Greinke gets the win. He's 3-2 as an Angel. John Lester takes the loss. He's 8-11. Friere gets the save. His 16th of the year. Greinke, 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 runs earned, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. Lester with a complete game loss, 9 hits, 5 runs, all earned. He's now 8-11 with a 5.01 ERA, and obviously nobody expected that from John Lester. Loney hits his first home run of the year as a Red Sox. He came over in the Dodger trade, and they penciled him in right number 4 in the lineup, 3-for-4, 2 runs scored with an RBI. Avila is the shortstop, 2-for-3, the only other guy with more than one hit for the Red Sox. For the Angels, Torrey Hunter, 3-for-4, now hitting .298, has had a real nice season. Pujols, you knew his numbers were horrible the first month, 6 weeks of the year, but you knew he'd come back. 2-for-4 yesterday with 2 RBIs, hitting .287 for the season, and I understand that's not .320, but where he was, he's had a heck of a season after April and the first week in May. Trumbo 2-for-4 as well. Again, the Angels have a solid lineup. Trout 0-for-3, but hitting .336 in the leadoff spot. Hunter, Pujols, Trumbo, Kendrick, Eric Ibar hitting .274 this year at short. I mean, they do have a very good lineup. They need to get a little better pitching to make a run at the playoffs. Angels 5, Red Sox 2. few other games. The Athletics in a wild card spot right now, get 5-4. That propels them to a 12-7 win over the now hapless Indians, 21 games under 500. Parker gets the win, he's 9-7. Masterson takes the loss, he's 10-12. For Oakland, Coco Crisp hits his 9th. Josh Reddick having an unbelievable year. Do you think the Red Sox wish they still had him? Hits his 27th of the year. Donaldson and Pennington both hit their 4th of the year for Oakland. Kipnis hits his 13th for Cleveland. Oakland 12, Cleveland 7. The Mariners beat the Twins 5-4. Beavan gets the win. He's 9-8. Dunsing takes the loss. He's 3-10. Wilhelmsen gets his 21st save. And Willingham quietly having an unbelievable season for Minnesota, hits his 33rd home run of the year. Blue Jays shut out the Rays 2-0. Villanueva gets the win, 7-4. Moore takes the loss, 10-8. Jansen gets a save, his 18th of the year. The Royals beat the Tigers 2-1. Sweep the Tigers, in fact. Guthrie gets the win, he's 3-3. Porcello takes the loss, he's 9-10. Herrera gets his first save of the season, and Alex Gordon hits his 10th home run of the year for the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City 2, Tigers 1. We'll get to the standings after this break. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, well, I got to see.
Steve Kallis Show. Got a bunch of non-baseball things to do now. The U.S. Open tennis major played at Flushing, Queens, right near Citi Field where the Mets play. Yesterday, Andy Roddick, the premier U.S. tennis player for the last 8 to 10 years at least, who actually won the U.S. Open in 2003, but that's been his only major. Roddick announces his retirement yesterday. He'll be playing tonight on ESPN2, second round. He was the first round winner, but he is actually the last American to win a major. That was back in 2003, so you know what's happened to tennis since the glory days of, you know, Connors and John McEnroe. It's kind of sad what's happened, but Andy Roddick, a good guy, a hard worker, did get a major win in 2003 at this U.S. Open, announces his retirement yesterday, and seems to be pretty content with that decision. A few other matches. Number one, Roger Federer won in straight sets. The first big upset, Joe Willie Tsonga, the number three seed, was beaten by Martin Clizon in four sets. He's the first high seed to go. Also, Venus Williams knocked out by number six seed Angelique Kerber. Now, Williams doesn't play enough to get really seeded. Obviously, she would be a high seed, but yesterday she's knocked out 60 unforced errors. And had some strange comments after the match that I'm sure you'll hear about. The one that, I guess, troubled me the most was today she said, quote, "Today I felt American for the first time here," close quote. Her point being that in years past the crowd was usually against her. Just kind of bizarre to me, though, that she'd make a quote like, "Today I felt American for the first time coming to New York to play in the U.S. Open." But, you know, the Williams sisters have always been controversial. Serena has far surpassed Venus. Venus older, and frankly, towards the end of her career, in my opinion. But certainly has a right to say whatever she wants. After all, we are in America. Quickly, a little college football. The big game yesterday, South Carolina 17 at Vanderbilt 13. Marcus Lattimore returns for South Carolina, 22 rushes for 110 yards, two touchdowns. He did fumble on his first touch. Connor Shaw, the quarterback for North Carolina, 14 rushes for 92 yards, only 67 yards passing. But really, the game was about a blown pass interference call, if you saw the highlights of this game. Aaron Rodgers' brother is the quarterback for Vanderbilt, 13 for 23 for 214 yards. But they went for it late in the game, down four, fourth and seven. Rodgers got hit as he was letting the ball go, but threw a perfect pass. Looked like it hit the receiver in the hands on replay. It was obvious that the South Carolina DB had grabbed the guy's arms and they missed the pass interference call, which, you know, is an automatic first down, et cetera. You don't know that they would have gone down and scored a touchdown, which is what they need. But South Carolina very fortunate to get out of there with a win, 17-13 over Vandy. UCLA, the first college game coach by Jim Mora at UCLA. UCLA 49, Rice 24. Cameron Nwosu of Rice had the interesting game of blocking three extra points and getting an interception. That was the highlight for Rice. But UCLA had three touchdown plays of greater than 70 yards in the first half alone. Hundley, their quarterback, was 21 for 28 for 202 yards, two throwing TDs, one rushing TD. Jonathan Franklin had two rushing TDs, 74 and 78 yards, 348 yards rushing overall for UCLA. Don't know if they can go with USC, but they certainly beat Rice yesterday. Number of interesting college games coming up. Oh, one other college game yesterday, BYU hammers Washington State 30-6. I thought that was interesting because I'm a big Mike Leach fan. Mike Leach, you'll recall, who had just all those credible offensive years with quarterbacks down at Texas A&M and got fired. Now resurfaces at Washington State playing his alma mater, BYU. But BYU, too much for Washington State yesterday. It's going to take Leach, I think, a couple of years. But you watch the Washington State offense, if not this year, then next year. BYU 30, Washington State 6. Of course, it's all set up for tomorrow. Interesting games tomorrow. The main game, number 8 Michigan against number 2 Alabama, down in Arlington, Texas. I don't really think Michigan has a shot. You know, I think LSU has dropped out of the elite ranks. Tyrann Mathieu gone. I think it's just going to be USC and Alabama. I think you still have to like the tough SEC team, Alabama, in this case. But they play tomorrow. That's the main game. Penn State, no Joe Paterno on the sidelines at Penn State for the first time since 1949. Ohio comes in, not Ohio State, Ohio at Penn State. That's another game to watch. And the third, Boise State on the road at Michigan State. No Kellen Moore this year for Boise. Lost 10 starters on defense. I think they're going to have their hands full playing at Michigan State. Quickly now to the NFL, and again, I understand everybody played in the last few days, and you know the fourth preseason game, exhibition game, is virtually irrelevant. So I'm not going to go in the winners and the losers. Just a couple of broader base notes. The Giants were unable to run the ball against the Patriots' second team. The Giants started their starters for the first half, couldn't put a touchdown on the board, scored 3 points against the Patriots' second team. We'll talk about the schedule in depth next week, but the first game next Wednesday, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday, Dallas at the Meadowlands to play the Giants. I'm a Giants guy, but I'm kind of leaning towards Dallas. I think the Giants are weaker at the wide receiver position this year. Manningham gone, Jake Ballard, the sleeper, gone. I think they're going to have their problem, and they couldn't run the ball, against the Patriots' second team. So I think the Giants are going to be fine, but I think they're going to have trouble early on. The other big story, and really the national story, is the Jets with the Sanchez-Tebow combination. Neither Sanchez nor Tebow was able to lead their team down the field to score a touchdown during the preseason. It was up to McElroy, the successful quarterback at Alabama. He is the only Jet quarterback to lead a team down the field to score a touchdown, and I think that is significant when you look at the whole body of work, the whole four games. Philly hammered them yesterday 28-10. I don't think that's important, but I think the fact that they just couldn't drive the ball down the field, their offensive line isn't quite that good, the wide receivers after Santonio Holmes are not quite that good, the running game is not quite that good, so they're going to rely even more and more on their good, not great defense. And we'll just have to see how that, frankly, is going to shake out for the Jets. But, you know, they're not going to beat the Patriots this year. Buffalo might be better than them. We'll get into a lot of NFL on Wednesday's show, which is opening day of the NFL. One other thing, legal side, you know about all those concussion lawsuits that have been filed by former players against the NFL, saying essentially that they knew, you know, how dangerous this whole concussion issue was. The NFL, of course, claims they didn't. The NFL yesterday filed a motion to dismiss all of those lawsuits, saying essentially that's a labor issue, not a legal issue for the courts. I don't think that's going to fly at all. There was an interview with Commissioner Goodell, who essentially said he's trying to change the culture in the NFL, and as I've discussed, both outside the lines on ESPN and WPIX 11 in New York, or PIX11.com if you're not in the New York area, are both running series this week, that deal in ESPN's behalf on outside the lines specifically with the concussion issue. It's one aspect of the PIX11.com series, which concluded today, which you can get online. I know somebody put my appearance on Monday on WPIX Channel 11 in New York. That's on YouTube. If you hit Steve Callis and Kids at YouTube.com, you will get that as well. But I suggest today, 3 o'clock Eastern, outside the lines, to watch the concluding fifth part of the five-part series. I don't think I went through quickly, and I'll go through it now. The American League standings, the Yankees 75-55, 3 games up on the Orioles, 4.5 up on Tampa Bay. The Orioles have the one of the 2 wild card spots, Tampa Bay 1.5 out, Boston and Toronto out of it. Chicago leads the Central at 72-58 by 3 games over Detroit. Detroit 3 games behind the White Sox and 3 games out of the wild card. KC, Cleveland, and Minnesota out of it. Texas in the West has a 4-game lead over Oakland. Oakland has the other wild card spot. Angels trying to get in one of 2 ways, 8.5 behind Texas. That seems, can they do it in a month? Yeah, but that seems a long shot at best. But the Angels, after their win yesterday, only 3.5 games out of a wild card, so they certainly do have a chance to get a wild card spot. Again, as you know, two wild cards, they're going to have a one-game playoff. Winner moves on, loser goes home. Sports on TV tonight, MLB Network, 7 o'clock Eastern, either, depending on where you are, White Sox at the Tigers, Baltimore at the Yankees for that big series. You know, if Baltimore could sweep, they would tie the Yankees, so not out of the realm of possibility for the Baltimore Orioles, where Buck Showalter, once again, after doing it with the Yankees in the mid-90s and then doing it with Arizona in the late 90s, now doing it again with Baltimore, putting these teams in contention. Those are the two games on MLB Network, 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, depending where you are. Tennis, the U.S. Open, men's and women's, on ESPN2, 1 o'clock Eastern and 7 o'clock Eastern, coming from Flushing Meadow in New York, as we've discussed. College football, a couple of games. North Carolina State against Tennessee in Atlanta. That's ESPNU at 7:30. Boise State at Michigan State. Interesting game. ESPN, 8 o'clock Eastern. And again, I think Boise State doesn't quite have the firepower they used to have. And they're starting on the road at Michigan State. That'll be a tough task for them. This is the Steve Kallis Show. Happy Labor Day to everybody. We'll see you down the road at SportsTalkNetwork.com.